Wise or foolish to worry? On Friday, I came across a leaflet from our friends at Brigadier Hill Church. You may have one or some at the back of the church here. But the leaflet invites people who were feeling anxious and depressed or rejected and in need of physical or emotional healing to go along to their Enfield healing rooms if they felt a need to meet with God or to be prayed for. Now, whatever age we are, we can be tempted to worry. School exams, illness, unemployment, the children, money, clothes, food, a house, death, and the list is endless, isn't it? And the adverts in any magazines or TV show indicate what seems to matter in our lives. For young women, it's definitely about what to wear and how to be beautiful. For older women, perhaps good food might feature. And for men, value comes from the right car, the right accessory, or using the right fuel company. Now, while we might dismiss this as superficial, for many of us, what we look like gives security and confidence. But underneath, that concern for image is often a lack of self-confidence. Now, if you don't believe in God and have never committed your life to Him through Jesus Christ, then there's nothing more to be said. Life is meaningless, and you are a puppet in the hand of blind chance. And so I would suggest you have good reason to worry. But if you're a real Christian, then Jesus has a very clear message for you. And the message is, don't worry. Now, in our lesson from Matthew's Gospel, Jesus says 5 times that we should not be anxious, that we should not worry. But in today's world, people are anxious, even to the point that they live with fear, frightened to leave the house, fear for the safety of their children, as I've said, fear for jobs, etc. And it seems almost impossible, doesn't it, to live in today's world and be completely free from anxiety or fear. Yes, even people who have faith in God also face situations that cause anxiety. But the good news is that we can do something about it. We can do something about our feelings of anxiety. We can turn to the Bible, the book that provides practical help for daily living. This morning, our main focus is on those verses from Matthew's Gospel, words from Jesus about God and possessions. We turn first to verse 25. Jesus says, "You can't serve both God and mammon. You can't serve God and money." But life for many is fraught with financial uncertainties, and the love of money and the effort to get rich quickly leads many to take risks that eventually lead to financial loss and ruin. We can't make an idol of money and worship God. Let's do a little exercise, shall we, in dethroning that idol, the wallet or the purse. Now, if you've got a wallet or a purse, I invite you to take it out for a moment. Now, if you've got your purse or wallet out, it may well be looking like a bit of leather. But for many of the people, the ability to experience happiness is associated directly with the contents of this small holder. This is where God, Mammon, lives. We believe in this little bit of leather. We believe that it has power. In fact, we give it the power to make us feel successful, secure, and valuable. But the question is, who's in charge? Who's holding who? Now, a little step of surrender. And if you're willing, pass your wallet or purse to the person next to you. I don't know how many of you have done that, but here's a good opportunity to give enthusiastically and extravagantly as you've always wanted to. We're going to have a collection. Not really. It's all right. We'll do that a bit later when the purse and the wallet is back with its rightful owner. So you could pass them back now. Feel relieved. Don't worry. Now, Jesus is against accumulating much more than we need, against us being selfish, greedy, and valuing temporary things. It's not wrong, of course, to be a wealthy Christian, but it is difficult. And so the Bible tells us that we can't serve both God and money. Serving money will bring worry. And moving on to verses 25 and 26. Don't be worried about food and drink you need to keep alive, or clothes for your body. Well, in today's society, many people overeat, overdrink, don't they? And the abuse of alcohol leads to additional problems, such as alcoholism, broken families, and traffic accidents. An extreme obsessive dieting can also be harmful. But you know, eating and drinking in moderation should give us pleasure. After all, that's what the Bible tells us in Ecclesiastes. All of us should eat and drink and enjoy what we had worked for. It is a gift from God. And we are told that God will provide for us. Jesus says, look at the birds. Your heavenly Father feeds them. And if he looks after them, then he'll look after us, won't he? And then Jesus says, look at the wild flowers and the grass. Your heavenly Father clothes them. Now, Jesus' flowers were wasteland flowers, and birds were sold for next to nothing. And his images might well have raised a laugh. You know, of course, people are more valuable than flowers and birds. Jesus is saying that we are precious. That's what he's telling us. That we're valued. And that God holds us in the palm of his hand. And when we realise these things, it helps us to trust. So God can and will look after us, his children. Jesus says, trust God. Have you ever given God a chance? And then moving to verse 33, and we find that the gospel passage calls us back to the kingdom of God, where new life springs forth and wrongs are put right. And that's a theme that dominates Matthew's gospel. And the good news about the kingdom of God must reflect and influence the way that we use our money and our time. We briefly looked at the money worry, just briefly. So what about our time? How do we use our time? Do we give priority time to things or to people? No, we seem to be bursting, don't we, with all kinds of labour-saving devices, many designed to take the toil out of housework. And then, having got these labour-saving devices, you think that people will have plenty of time to spend with their friends and family, time for relaxation. But the result so often is that both husband and wife, or both partners, have to go out to work to pay for them. And so it's not surprising that instead of finding time to relax, many people say that they're becoming more tired and stressed. Now, long working hours, travelling to and fro from villages and towns into cities, can mean, can't it, for many people, spending many hours each week or day on busy roads and crowded buses, trains, all the time worrying if the train will arrive. Will the bus be on time? Will I get to work? Will I make the meeting on time? And so the working day is extended, bringing with it tension and anxiety, and we become tired. Now, we appear to be caught up, don't we, in a world that seems set on wanting more and going faster and faster. Now, if we could only slow down, simplify things, we would find time for our friends, for our family and ourselves. And when all is said and done, friends and family are far more important than money and possessions. Fast cars and computers and bank accounts and gadgets all have their rightful place. But if we give them priority, they'll cheapen our lives and we will eventually become dissatisfied. It's only people who can love you. Perhaps we all need to take a good look at the things that we own and ask ourselves, do I need this or is it just clutter? Does it add to the quality of my life or does it steal precious time? And more good advice from the Bible, Ecclesiastes. There is a time to weep and a time to laugh. And it's right, isn't it, that our time should also include humour and laughter, because it helps us in dealing with anxiety and stress. It's refreshing and healthful. A wife once said, "My husband comes up with something funny in the most stressful situations." "And that really helps," she said. A kingdom living is about priorities. And in setting priorities, it's also right to take into account our own need for some me time, for a little time of privacy, for meditation, and for recharging the batteries. A regular time set aside for prayer, talking to God, can be invaluable in our efforts to avoid anxiety. Prayer has brought many people to the place of peace, the peace that is beyond our understanding. Philippians, don't worry about anything, but in all your prayers, ask God for what you need, always asking him with a thankful heart. And God's peace, which is far beyond human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds safe in union with Christ Jesus. So the Bible, the book that provides practical help for daily living, helps reduce anxiety and worry by encouraging us to develop qualities such as love and joy and peace and patience, kindness and goodness, faithfulness, humility and self-control. And it also urges us to be kind to one another, to be compassionate and forgiving. Now, dealing with people in these ways, following the words of advice and wisdom found in the Bible, helps us in a big way to relieve stress, anxiety, and worry. And God promises that when we pay attention to the kingdom, the things that we worry about will find their rightful place. A man decided to get rid of worry, and he paid someone else to do his worrying, but it didn't come cheap, some £5,000 per month. And asked by a friend how he would find the money to pay the person, he replied calmly, "That's his worry, not mine." Now, Jesus tells us to hand our worries over to him. To those who are worried, he says, "Come to me, all of you who are tired from carrying heavy loads, and I will give you rest." And if you're seen, Jesus also says, "Don't worry. Don't worry saying, 'What shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear?'" No, Jesus cares for us. He knows and understands that there are things that make us worry. But people who have put their trust in God by putting him at the centre of their life know that God helps them to overcome today's world and to do so with joy and gladness. God wants to have a relationship with each one of us. He wants to give us a life full of purpose and joy. And we need him in our lives because he holds the future. And he holds it in the palm of his hands, where we are secure today, tomorrow, and for eternity. Jeremiah 29. "For I know the plans I have for you, plans for good and not evil, to give you a future and a hope. And in these days when you pray, I will listen." God will provide. No need to worry. He holds the future in his hands. We are safe. Amen.